This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Today we have National Chief Perry Bellegarde talking with us about the upcoming Energy Forum on February 10th and 11th in Vancouver. Thank you, National Chief, for joining Nation Talk.
Thanks for the opportunity, Doug.
What are you hearing from chiefs across Canada when you talk to them about energy and the economy?
Basically, what I'm hearing from chiefs across Canada is the need to, for the Assembly of First Nations to provide a forum for dialogue and debate. A lot of them are saying they're getting picked off by industry, you know, and they need a forum to come together where they can share their stories and share their ideas, you know, and make sure that their rights to protect the land and water are respected. We're hearing that. We're also hearing from some chiefs that, hey, if pipelines are going to happen and cut through our traditional territories, then we want to be involved with equity ownership. So we have chiefs across Canada saying, we're open-minded to development. We're open-minded to getting involved in the economy, but not at any price. We want to make sure that we're involved in equity ownership, in employment and growth, and be part of the economy with wealth creation. But as well, we're also hearing from some chiefs that, no, we're not going to allow this pipeline to come through at any cost. And so we need to provide those two extreme positions a place for dialogue and debate. And that's what this forum is on February 10 and 11. That's one piece. We're also hearing from our chiefs across Canada that both levels of government, federal government and provincial governments, need to start recognizing and respecting inherent rights, Aboriginal rights, and treaty rights. They need to start respecting First Nations jurisdiction, and that's not happening. I'm also hearing a third point is that the Crown has this obligation called duty to consult and accommodate. So what's their policy framework? What are their processes as the Crown to engage First Nations governments and citizens in this process? They're falling down on that respect is what I'm hearing. And I'm also hearing from industry because they want economic certainty that they're stepping up to the plate because both federal and provincial governments are falling down on the job, that they're not providing that proper framework in place at all. That's four points. The fifth point that I'm hearing is it's all about the National Energy Board, the regulatory process when it comes to major resource projects, that again, where are the First Nations voices? Where are the First Nations concerns being heard? And I'm hearing the concern that the National Energy Board's regulatory process is not as rigid or as robust as it should be when it comes to protecting the land and water, and that needs to be looked at and addressed and possibly overhauled. So there's five or six points that I'm hearing across Canada.
So why is it good to get important, I guess, cross the country representation, both from industry and First Nations at this event?
Anytime you can bring together public sector, private sector, and First Nations governments together, an avenue and an opportunity for collaboration and cooperation. Everybody wants economic certainty. Look at the whole economic crisis we're in across Canada. You know, the oil and gas crisis, the price per barrel, the loonie is dropping. Well, First Nations people understand the importance of a strong, robust economy. And so anytime you can create a forum for that dialogue, you're going to find some good strategies, programs, and policy going forward that respects everybody's rights, that respects the balance between the economy and the environment. And that's really what this forum is tasked to do.
Okay, so what would you say is the single most important message to First Nations citizens that are listening to this, generally on energy and economic opportunities?
Well, one of the most important things I say to First Nations citizens is that even when you start talking about self-government, self-determination, that has to be linked to economic self-sufficiency. And we've got to be involved in the economy. Historically, we've been consumers of goods and services. We're never producers of goods and services. And as Indigenous peoples, we have to get involved in the economy. That's one point. But as well, we have to get more involved in the development of any kind of policy or legislation going forward because our involvement brings the added respect for the environment, the land and water. So we need to get involved at decision-making tables as Indigenous peoples on the economic side, but as well on the environment side as well. And so that's going to be my main message to First Nations people across Canada, is finding that balance between the economy and the environment by getting more and more of First Nations people around decision-making tables. And that means in the public sector, that means in government, you know, around cabinet tables. That means in more and more of our First Nations people around university board tables. Then in the private sector, that means more and more First Nations people around those boards of directors' tables and on those senior management teams in the private sector as well. Including our First Nations people around those decision-making tables is the ultimate goal, because you're going to get better decisions.
Thank you. Any closing remarks for our audience?
Basically, it's February the 1st. The Assembly of First Nations is really focusing on influencing the federal budget coming up, because that's really the proof in the pudding. We've had the Prime Minister come out to our Assembly in December, and he made five key promises in front of the Chiefs of Canada that this Liberal government will start an inquiry into missing Indigenous women and girls. So there's a pre-consultation phase going on right now. They also made the requirement or a commitment to implement the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action. That's number two. Number three, they said they're going to be making key strategic investments in education to close the fiscal gap that's there. That's number three. Number four, they talked about removing the 2% fiscal cap that's been in place for 20 years. That was huge. And number five, a federal law review to get some of these omnibus bills, C-38, C-45, Bill C-10, Bill Essex, in line with Section 35 and even the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So there's a lot of work going forward. We're focusing on the federal budget right now to make sure that there are adequate financial resources put into this federal budget that will speak to the things I just talked about, but as well include the Indian Child and Family Services. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal just ruled in our favor about the discriminatory funding practices that have been in place for years and years and years. So that also has to be addressed in this fiscal budget, in this federal budget. So from the AFN, as National Chief, we're putting all hands on deck to influence this federal budget, which will be coming down in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, thank you, National Chief. For those looking for the energy event, it is at firstnationsenergy.ca, coming up February 10th and 11th in Vancouver.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.